the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? You know what? I love our bodyguard. We got a good one, don't we? We got a good bodyguard. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord last night? Now, if you're looking for muscles, he's not the man. But if you're looking for authority over devils, he's a keeper. He is a keeper. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. How many of you come to worship? How many of you come to have church this morning? Look at somebody and say, God bless you. If you want to shake their hand, that's up to you. But God bless every one of you. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Oh, tell me, where could I go? Yes, where could I go? Seated for a little bit this morning. We're going to let you know about some prayer requests. First of all, let me read this card of thanks. This is from Sister Teresa Vest. Thank you all for your prayers, your gift basket, the cards, the phone calls, and your text. I am so thankful for my miracle and am praising God for His wonderful mercy and grace. I'm a testimony of what God can do, and even doctors acknowledge His miraculous power. Love you all in Christ, Sister Teresa Vest. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so mindful of every one of us, isn't He? And I appreciate God touching our sister this morning. Amen. I want to remember Brother David Soller in prayer. He is in the Czech Republic. I think he left on Thursday, going to be coming home maybe Monday or Tuesday to some, one of those days. But while he's there, let's pray that the Lord would just give him wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord. Brother Darrell out in Arizona, let's pray for those meetings. The Lord will be mindful of those folks. Sister Linda Lawrence is doing much better and wants to thank everyone for their prayer. So praise the Lord for that. Sister Carol Reagan sends us in to please pray for my niece Hope. She is ready to deliver her baby, and she is having some complications. We'll just commit that to the Lord this morning. Ask God to be mindful of her. I want to pray for Sister Ruth Anthon from Texas. She is in need for God to touch her body. So let's pray for that need today. Brother Harvey will be having surgery this week. Please remember him in prayer. So we'll commit that to the Lord. Sister Lisa Cutts says to please remember my dad having a heart catheterization tomorrow. Pray that there will be good results. So we just commit that to the Lord. Brother Carter Lawson says to please pray for a sister that is having family problems. Her husband has given her a rough time. May God bless you all. So we remember, pray for that need this morning. Remember those folks. Sister Sandy Baggett says to remember the family of Jim Baggett. That's Sister Sandy's husband. His mother passed away Wednesday night. They will be traveling to North Carolina for the service. So let's pray for the comforting hand of the Lord on that situation. Sister Janet Lehman says to please pray for my sister Peggy Knight. She's having tests for cancer this week. The doctors are saying that there is a reoccurrence of this cancer. Please pray that all will be well. So we'd commit that to the Lord. Brother Greg Robbins, stomach bothering him. His sugar is very high. So let's pray for him this morning as we pray. Special prayer request for John Horniak. Healing in his body. So let's pray for the Lord to touch him. This testimony, Brother Fred Perry sends this in. My company gave me a time job that had to be done in 5 days. I told them that there was no problem. They laughed at me. For I hadn't even seen the job. They told me that Saturday and Sunday would be required to work. My heart sank, and I want to thank the Lord. I went to the Lord and asked his saints to pray with me. The job was completed in 3 days and 140 gallons of paint later. He who laughs last, laughs best. Praise God. Thank you for praying with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Fred, we appreciate that testimony this morning. Now, let me make this announcement before we go on into the service. Well, I'll just wait a few minutes because some of the young people probably still downstairs. We need to make an announcement that's very important in regard to the Louisiana Youth Camp. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you believe God's able? Yes, look at somebody and say, God's able. God is able. Where could I go? Stand with me. Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? One more time. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Bill Blair, did I see him come in? Where is he at? Come up here, Brother Bill, this morning. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Such a privileged people we are. Yes, sir. Such a privileged people we are. Brother Bill, we love you, buddy. God bless you.
Morning. That's a list way too long for me to remember. Thankfully, it's not based on my memory. So if anybody in here is like me, I don't feel worthy to stand up here. I don't feel worthy to call on the Lord in prayer. So I just go by his worthiness and his righteousness. And I don't say that flippantly. I mean that from the depths of my heart. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, whenever there's a list like this, there are many ways of looking at it. One is heavy hearts and difficult times. Another way is an opportunity for great joy and great blessings and great answers. And I just want to take the second approach, Lord, and admit that I believe that you can and will do things for those who are mentioned here, Lord. I know our faith gets weak sometimes, but your faith never fails. And I'm reminded of the little story of the footprints on the sands of time, where when there was only one set of footprints, it was you carrying me, Lord, not you leaving me. And so, Lord, this morning, I just want to ask you to be merciful, to be gracious as you are, to lead us, to direct us, to help us, Lord, to understand what it is you want us to do and to be faithful to do it. I believe if we can do that, Lord, then you will grant to us the things we have need of, and we in turn can be like the one who was cleansed and turned back to say thank you. For Lord, we praise you this morning for your greatness and goodness and for continuing to look down upon us in your mercy and not your judgment. We give you all the glory, Lord, and ask you to bless the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor today with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming the service today, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Did I see Brother Joel Brown come in back there? Where is Brother Joel Brown here? Brother Joel, come up here real quick. Brother Joel Brown. He's not got to be here a lot here lately because of work situations and different things, but I want him to help us sing. Actually, I want him to help us. I want him to lead and we'll help him. If anybody asks you where are you going? Up yonder? Amen. We're going up yonder. Give Brother Joel Brown a nice hand this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to help you whether you want us to or not. So we're going to help you sing this. Let's worship the Lord. You know what? The song that we were singing just a few minutes ago, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? The end of time is here. We have come to the end of this age. Do you believe that with all your heart? We know that the rapture is on the horizon. The body changes. We're just getting ready to step into it. Where can we go but to the Lord? But all that being said, what a place he's got laid out for you. Oh, it's out of this world, church. I know you're excited about it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Sing it, buddy.
If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going someday soon.
Amen.
Anybody ask you where I'm going one day?
I want you to
soon.
Say it, church.
Tell them for me.
We're going up yonder.
I'm going up yonder. Savior, face to face. I'm going up yonder.
Yes, we are.
I'm going up yonder.
I'm going up yonder.
Gonna be
comfort in knowing I'm gonna soon fly away. As God gives me grace, I'll run this Christian race until I see my Savior, until I see Him face to face and face to face. I'm going in the rapture.
If he keeps practicing, he's going to turn into a singer, sure as this world. Amen. We love Brother Joel Brown, and we love the Brown family, don't we? Amen. We certainly do. Amen. You can be seated this morning. The group that's going to sing for us, ever how they have that arranged, if they'll come on the platform, be getting ready. Now, I believe there was a little bit of confusion about the Louisiana Youth Camp, so maybe this note will clear everything up. But listen real closely. There is now room at the youth camp in Louisiana. There is room. You must email the Evening Light Church as soon as possible to register with them and to pay the fees for the camp. The sign-up sheet is over in the library. Sign it after you have prepaid. Evening Light Tabernacle requests that this be done as soon as possible. You can get the email address to contact over in the library. So remember that. There's room at the camp. If you want to go, pay your fees, sign up. They have the email address for you in the library. Does everybody understand that? There is room. Look at somebody and say, there is room. There is room. There is room. Amen. There's room. Praise the Lord. We appreciate this pack, don't we? Let's give them a good hand as they get ready to sing this morning.
Seen of your great love. satisfy me. You satisfy me. Spirit, fall. Open up heaven's door. We're waiting with worship for more. You're the only one that satisfies me. My constant request above all things, every hour I wake, be near me, O God. Though I've tasted and seen of your great love,
Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold sword. Wow. Isn't that amazing? They didn't have tape players. I mean, in reality, if you want a guy there that's going to be your protector, you don't want him to have bubble gum, a tape player in his hand, or you want something he can defend you with? Me too. They all hold swords. Now listen to these guys. Being expert in war. That's my kind of bodyguard. If I ever get in trouble, I don't want none of you wimps hanging with me. I want some of you folks that's willing to die for the cause. Being expert in war, every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Oh my goodness, what wonderful things lay in front of us today. May God speak to us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, once again, we thank you for your grace and mercy to us. We ask today, Father, that you would once again come and speak to us. This is your word. This is your divine program. You alone, dear Father, can make it known to our hearts and enlighten us with it. This book has been read for millennia. It has been fussed over, debated, argued. Lord, we're not here for that purpose today. We're here to be benefited by the contents that are in these verses. May our lives be intertwined today as the pavement on the floor of the matah. May each of our lives be a love story which is woven together by the grace of God. Your love to us, our love to you. Speak to us once again, Father, for we know if there's anything eternal that'll come out of this service today of eternal value, eternal quality, eternal benefit, it'll have to be you that'll do it. We cannot do it. We're mortals. We present ourselves. We do everything that we know how to do. But then it's inevitable. We're total, complete failures without you. Help us today, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. For those of you that wasn't with us last night, we were looking at chapter 3 in the Song of Solomon, and it is the placing of the Shulamite coming now into the presence of King Solomon. They've been engaged now, espoused, as we would call it, for some time. But the day of their marriage has arrived. For the Eastern people, many of them even to this day among some countries and nationalities, they celebrate this for a period of 7 days. And it will, depending on the culture and the custom, sometimes the bride and the groom, they consummate the marriage on the first night. On many of them, they do not consummate the marriage until the seventh night. But here, the scripture doesn't actually give us the clarity to know which night that this actually is, whether it is the first or the seventh. But what we see happening is the bride, the woman from Shunem, the Shulamite, is being brought up into the presence of the king. Solomon, because of the difference in the cultural things as well as social standing, normally the woman would be retrieved by the husband himself. He would go to the father's house. There the bride would be. Then he would bring her on the journey, however far that it was, and they would take most of the time an extended route. They could go from point A to point B, but most of the time in these festivities they'd go point A to C to D to E to F to G, and then they'd go to B, because a lot of it was about display. So as they would go, then they would have music, and they would have these nuptial crowns or chaplets, which they called them, and they would have incense, and they would, oh, it was a great entourage that they would do. But here we see it's a little bit different. There is such a contrast between the social class of Solomon and of this woman. She is a maiden from the lower part of Galilee. She is a shepherdess. She has been a vineyard keeper, as we looked at her last night. She has been very much mistreated by her family. She's been looked down. She's not been treated as royalty, because in reality, she is not. She is not royal. She is one of a very common birth. She has no royal blood, no royal upstanding about her at all. But yet somehow she found favor in the eyes of the greatest king that at this time had lived upon the earth. So it must have been quite a difficult thing for her. Remember, our thought is still being able to be an overcomer in the galleries. Now, we brought her last night from leaving Galilee, and we want to pick up on her today in this stage of the journey of where she actually is. And I want to call your attention again to verse 7. Behold his bed. Now we go from verse 6, which they are focusing on her, and they say, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? So this, as if though the song is written, now remember, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1, this is the Song of Songs. So of the 1,004 that he wrote, he felt like this was the capstone of it all, because it was the very epitome of who he was. You see, this woman had tapped into an avenue of Solomon that none of his preceding wives or concubines had been able to bring out. A lot of them, no doubt, was for social status. As you know, that many of these kings would marry a prince of this kingdom, one of this kingdom, one of that kingdom. And it was for political clout and things like that, by which they would establish friendships with other kings. But with this one, it had not happened that way at all. It was nothing to do with politics. It was nothing to do with trying to be a friend with this kingdom so you could get their cedar, or a friend with this kingdom so you could have their gold, or a friend with this kingdom so you could have their silver. This man was absolutely smitten by love by this poor girl that had hardly nothing to bring to him but herself. Her father, we don't know anything about him. He was not recorded in scripture. Her mother is only mentioned by the title, My Mother's Children, as she referred to her last night. So there was nothing great as far as any kind of dowry which could be brought to the marriage, which was custom. And whenever we see her now as she has been retrieved, because of the social status being different, Solomon did not go out and get her himself. Which was, you know, a little bit different even from Isaac and Rebekah, in the sense that Abraham had sent the servant out, Genesis 24, to find a bride for Isaac. When he does, he gives him everything that he needs to be able to convince him of his original authoritative that he was sent by Abraham. So he has riches and gifts and this and that and the other. He also has been given the power or the mode of transportation by which to convey this bride back from where she was back to where Isaac is. And yet it's still different, because Isaac did not go get her. So it was a servant once again. But here we see that it is because it is now Isaac was not a king.
So there must be now a different standard that this bride is going to be retrieved and brought forth. She must be identified, but she must also be protected. So the king has now sent this piece of furniture, which we looked at last night, was called a matah or a bier, B-I-E-R, which was used in coffins, caskets, and so on. This bier was. But this one is a little higher elevation of that. But the first thing they see, they see the bier, but they do not yet see the seal of the monarch apparently on this matar. So they look at it and say, who is this? I can't recognize who this is. Who's this woman? I hear that King Solomon's getting married today, but who is this woman? We don't know her. We don't recognize. And then all of a sudden, as the procession keeps moving closer and closer, and remember there are columns of smoke that are going up because the profusion of this smell of frankincense and myrrh, and it's just one after another, after another. And oh my, the music and the singing and whatever more that was happening. But then their focus changes. Now, the song is written as if so there is people there and they're watching this going on. Their names are not mentioned, of course, but they're standing there and they're saying, who is this? And then another one would turn and say, as if they were saying, well, this is King Solomon's matar. This is King Solomon's. Oh my goodness. Look, the seal of authenticity, the seal of the king himself. Now remember, this was actually built by King Solomon. He was a very talented man, a very artistic man with great abilities. And yet there was many things that was built inside of his kingdom that Solomon himself, no doubt, never put his hand to. It was his genius, his brilliance of design, and his ability of mixing together different types of materials to convey something that he wanted to express in his kingdom, of pulling it together. You know how that is. But yet this particular piece, Solomon himself had actually built. This one wasn't built by an artisan. This one was not built by a great man of ability. The king himself built this. Now notice, behold his bed. So we go from looking at the woman to this piece of furniture called in the English his bed. Look with me in the Hebrew, matal, which is a couch or a bed or a bier. The word matal, a bed or a litter. Now this is litter. It's a, you know, we have the English word litter, which means trash and all that, but it's L-I-T-E-R, or a litter of dogs or a litter of cats. But this is L-I-T-T-E-R, which comes from a root word to stretch out. It is also used of a bier. Now I looked this up this morning as well with litter. It is a covered or a curtained couch provided with shafts used for carrying. Do you understand there is not a matah big enough for Happy Valley Church? But each one of you have your own. This is how personal. I pray God helps me to make this to you today. We are not traveling. Oh, as a group, yes. As a body, yes. But I want you to focus this morning. It is you coming to the king. Not me and you as your pastor, you and your wife, you and your children. It is you. The idea is that the King Solomon had made this matah or this litter. If you can relate to it, it's basically the same thing that was used in the Indian culture, not American Indian, but from India. It was called a palanquin. Very similar piece of furniture. A palanquin. Now, in this one was particular because it was designed and made by King Solomon himself. Notice now how the onlooker, as they address this. Now, they've looked at her and they've commented about her, how she's coming. But apparently the seal of nobility is now in sight where they can see it. And now they are overtaken by, that is King Solomon's matah. That is King Solomon's litter. So this must be the woman that he's going to marry today. They told me that he was going to get married. And this must be his spouse. This must be that girl that has smitten his heart, because he has sent his matah in order to retrieve her. So to get in your mind now what it was, it was something sort of like a portable bed. Not very wide, just wide enough to where an individual would be able to rest there comfortably. Now it is not a throne in the sense to where that they would sit up on it, have their arms up like this, and they would sit down and they would have their feet down. They are in a reclined, more than a semi-reclined position. So they would be able to lay back and rest. Rest. Her Shabbat has arrived. Glory! So the position is one of royalty, but one in a comfortable position, not one in a dictatorial type of position or rendering judgment. Because the throne was never, you'd never find a king kind of kicked back in a recliner. There were no recliner thrones. Poor guys, I feel sorry for them. But you realize that would have been unbecoming to approach a king in a recliner. So what would you do? Something about his posture and the way they would presented him to him, sitting there with his rings and whatever more, his hands rolled around the curls of the ivory or the lion's head, his posture setting upright to come in and found the man in a reclining position, it would have not have been fitting at all. Neither would it have been fitting for her to travel in this place as well. Now she will eventually. But now she's traveling in this more retired type of position. So the people now, the city of Jerusalem, the onlookers, the daughters of Jerusalem, the women of the court, they're all seeing her as he comes through, and they see the seal of nobility, of royalty, and they recognize who it is. It is King Solomon's matah. Oh my. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Now notice, the king has sent his own litter, his own palanquin, in order to retrieve the bride. Now they put this personal identification on this litter, and they say, behold his bed. Oh my goodness, this is his palanquin. This is his litter. This is his matah. And then they name it, which is Solomon's. They add the royal name to the royal bed. Now you see, this adds an element of honor and dignity to the bride. It wouldn't have been fitting to went down to Big Lots and picked up some kind of plastic something for $5.99. You probably wouldn't have made it out of Galilee before it broke. It was made in China. But the king made this himself. I don't want to start off by hurting your feelings, but I ain't going to heaven on any preacher's religion. I ain't going to heaven on any preacher's honor, any preacher's reputation, any preacher's gift. My king made my journey. My king is the one who's bought my power and my mode of transportation into paradise. Thank God for every man of God, and they have their places, we will see. But I'm not riding in on some preacher's revelation. That's why I refuse to come under the thumb of any man who wants to say, you got to hear my tapes, you got to do this, you got to believe me, you got to believe that. Nonsense. I'm born of the Spirit of God. Come on, children. I'm not going to be put under the thumb of any organization or preacher in and around this message that say we have to have him as our bishop. I have one bishop and overseer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, not any other man. I give honor to every true servant of God, but I'll come under the subjection of none of them. Praise the Lord. They never looked and saw it was the matah of this preacher, the matah of that preacher. It was the matah of King Solomon himself. Well, praise the Lord. It is his will that his chosen be where he is. She probably didn't even own an ox cart. Who knows if she even owned a donkey? Boy, wouldn't that have been something? Coming to meet the king, and you show up in a broken down wagon or an ox cart, which can't even hardly roll. You think who's just going to fall in the gates? Oh, Jesus. I'm here. God, I barely made it. There are many dangers, calls, and snares. You ain't gonna fall in. You ain't gonna roll in. You're gonna walk in. That's royalty. Hallelujah. You ain't gonna barely make it. You're gonna walk in as the queen. He's showing what he thinks about her in the way he escorts her home. Friends, don't think you're going to leave this world by the power of a firecracker. You're going to leave this world like astronauts. You ain't going to leave like a firecracker. Well, I hope I get out of here. Oh, no, a dud. You ain't going to have no duds. You ain't going to barely hold on. You ain't going to just barely have enough power. There'll be enough power to thrust you out of this world. Amen. And it will not run out of fuel. It will not run out of power. You'll have all you need when the time arrives. Your matah is perfect. No wonder the scripture says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard the things that he's laid out for his people." You imagine this poor little bride. The queen of Sheba had come to Solomon's place, and she was overwhelmed by the wisdom, by the riches, by the things she saw. But yet this little poor Galilean girl got something that the Queen of Sheba could never have. Which would you rather have? Discernment or the king himself? She saw the power. She saw his wisdom. She said, "My goodness, what a wonderful thing. Your servants are even blessed to even sit at your feet every day. My, this is something." Saw his discernment on display. Don't you understand? That's what many of the people loved about Brother Branham. Oh, they love getting their sick healed. They love this or that or the other. All that's well and good. But that ain't what got my attention. Oh man, let me tell you something. I heard this message years ago and I'm still hearing it today. It ain't made me fall in love with Brother Branham. It made me fall in love with Jesus Christ. And if you hear the message and it don't make you fall in love with the Lord Jesus, you better listen again. This message is not sent to start a new organization or a new cult. It has come to restore our hearts back to original faith and original love for the only God. Brother Branham is not our God. He is not our Savior. He is not our King. He is our brother. I'm not riding on a Branham matah. Brother Branham never built this. The Lord Jesus did. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 60 valiant men are about it. 60 warriors. If you know anything about this procession, you know it was the groom's best friends. You see, for those folks who blast preachers, you might ought to be careful. You understand who's preaching to you this morning? I'm one of Jesus' best buddies. Woo! I ain't the only one now, but I am one of them. Praise the Lord. Every God called man in this age is called to such a position. No doubt there were many men in Solomon's army that were valiant, but these were the elite of the elite. The body guards. Now, I made up my mind this morning early that I was going to try to be very nice today. But the way I'm feeling right now, I've changed my mind. Bodyguards sent to retrieve the bride. Six, the number of men. So they go down with the palanquin to Galilee. Imagine now out in this remote place where she was from. I mean, the people had never seen anything like this in their life. Now it has purple on it, which comes from, as I told you last night, from Tyre, which is only the rich folks who'll be able to have purple. Because it come from the mollusk of the sea, and it took many, many, many hundreds of them in order to be able to make just a few ounces of this precious dye. So for them to ever own a purple garment, totally, totally impossible. And yet this was the top of what this palanquin was covered with. The floor was gold. The pillars were silver. All these men coming, and my, they are dressed to the hilt. They aren't just recruits that started yesterday, but they are experienced men. Now, just in case any enemy would come up, these ain't Popeyes. They don't need spinach. They're experienced in war. Any enemy got any idea? Oh, glory. Look at the men who's guarding this bride. They will remove your head. Praise the Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you one thing. I about had a runaway fit yesterday when I found this. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 70 valiant men are about it. Notice now, of the valiant of Israel. Now these are valiant men of the valiant of Israel. They were the most noble, the most experienced, and personal friends with the bridegroom. I mean, you know, like they talked to him and he talked back. The chariot, as it is termed, the palanquin with the bride in it. What man in his right mind would want to retrieve such a treasure without such protection? May I say, the bride doesn't only have earthly guards. She has heavenly guards. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamp round about those, them that fear him and delivereth them. Matthew chapter 18 verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. The elected have angels. Glory to God. And they are beholding the face of your Father. Genesis 32:1, and Jacob on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which is two camps. But he only saw one. No, he saw two. One was up here and one was here. So there is two camps. An earthly one and an angelic one. Oh, aren't you glad you got protectors this morning? Now, the time of the church's passage from leaving her home to where she is being united with the groom, it's a very serious, dangerous journey. Even the people there who mentioned it, they said she comes up out of the wilderness, which that word is also rendered tribulation or persecution or hardship. So she comes up, and then they notice then that she's transported on this bed, And then they say that there are these 70 men that are around her. So the church is placed under these men's protection. Now remember, because of the social status, the king himself cannot go down and get her. So he won't meet her in her home. And she won't meet him exactly in his home, but they'll kind of meet in the middle. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. And where are we going to meet him? We're not meeting him in heaven. We're meeting him in the air. He's not coming to the earth. Neither are we going to heaven. Glory to God. But we're going to meet him in the middle. Praise the Lord. Where the heavens has been expanded to redeem us, which lets me know there's going to be a lot of us. It's going to be more than 4 or 5. He's having to expand the heavens in order to make room. Notice this, in putting on the whole armor of God, the prophet said God fortified his army with what? Notice now. What with himself? In the form of prophets, apostles, teachers, pastors. What did he do? What was God doing? Listen, did you ever think what the offices in the church is? It's God's dress. Inside dress. Now this ain't God's outside dress. Listen. This is not aesthetic. It either is a cosmetic. This is God's inside dresswear. Hang tight now. They're closer than the robe. It's God's dress, inside dress. An apostle, a prophet, a seer, foresee. Before Satan ever gets to it, done told it, what is it? God dressed up in his church. These offices is God's dress wear. Notice he don't say office singular. Offices as in plural. When you see those offices, pastors plural, teachers plurals, evangelists plural, what is that? That's God's dress wear. God's presence, God's spirit, oh my, working through man. And if any of that office denies any of this word, then it's not God's dressing. And if a man says up and says, we don't need pastors no more, he ain't God's dressing. Well, praise the Lord. No, he said, that's that wolf in sheep's clothing. Watch that fella. Beware of him. Amen. Amen. But when he just takes what the word says, remember, that's God, because he's speaking his word. If he says, well, that isn't, oh, 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 my, going to go get in the sheep now. Watch, he says, listen. He had 5 stones. Now he's talking about David. Look at face. He spells it in Jesus. Here he comes. Something fixing to happen. David reaches down and picks up 5 stones. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists. Now watch Brother Branham how he's alluding to this. He says, that's what we need today is a man that will take God's word by the power of the Holy Ghost behind him to press it out. Watch it come to pass. That's God's army. His word of fire. His army is all dressed up with the ever presence of himself in there going with us. I'll go with you, be in you. Not you that speaketh, the Father that dwelleth in you. He doeth the works in his army. He presents his army in the form of 5 offices. First apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. That's his army. That's his soldiers. That's his commanding. All with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Walking out there to meet the enemy on any grounds he comes upon. To meet the enemy with the word of God. Amen. Each one backing one another up. Not fighting one another, backing one another up. Was him the chief captain, not out there in front, above, or back behind, but in them. I can hear as the command comes from King Solomon.
And it ripples down through the ranks. And the private guard. Solomon wants 60 men. His best. To go get his bride. Now you imagine he didn't want, I want onion peelers. I want potato shredders. And I want French toast guys. I mean, those guys are so cushy. Ooh, voila. You don't want no sissy. You want a man that can handle a sword. You imagine them men. I said, I'll go. Wonder how many volunteers they had. But they come down with 60. Glory. 15, 15, 15, and 15. Now they're the ones standing closest to the matah. Then you've got incense burners, frankincense burners. You've got all the spices from the merchants. You've got to have some chefs, and you've got to have people that can make it comfortable. You've got a whole entourage of people, maybe hundreds of people, because you want this bride to be comfortable. So here they come along, and they're going a little bit along the way. And you imagine the little bride, I mean, she's just learning how to be this person. I mean, she's been, you know, been this little humble person from down in Galilee. And she's pretty much been told what to do all of her life. Go here, go there. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. And she gets a little thirsty along the way, and she don't know what to say. I mean, she don't know how to address people. What am I supposed to say? Am I still supposed to say sir and ma'am? Or am I supposed to say, would you all hand me a drink of water? Or could I have it? Could I please you? Your holy sir, could I have a drink of water? So she's all learning this. This is completely new, how to be the queen of heaven. It ain't that been that many years that we're lost without God. It ain't been that many years that we didn't know how to pray, much less know how to act like royalty. You imagine, she kind of raised her voice, and it's jittery. And could I... Yes, your royal highness. Yes, ma'am. What is it? Did I say something wrong? I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I said, no, your highness. We're here to serve you. What is it, my lady, that you would like? Our lordship has given us whatever you wish along the way. Whatever's beneficial for you. I just wanted to drink water. Yes, my lady. Yes, my lady. We have Coke, Diet Coke, 7-Up, Sprite, Sprite, RCR. What would you like, my lady? You mean all this for me? Whichever you want. Or if you want them all together, we'll mix it all together for you. However you want it. Is there anything else you'd like, my lady? Well, I'm getting a little bit hungry, but I don't want to be no trouble or nothing. Oh, God. Trouble. Do you know who you are? My lady, do you know where you are going? You are going to marry the greatest king that is alive. Well, if y'all could spare just a little something, I wouldn't care to have a little bite of something to eat. Absolutely, my lady. Bring the royal highness. So they bring her a little ever-present water from the rock. And my lady, we're not sure exactly what you wanted, so we just brought you a little tray of several different things. If you'd like, you can use this as an appetizer, or we'll bring you an entire meal.
Praise the Lord.
If you wish, just make it. Your desire, we will obey. Well, she said, that's okay, I'm fine. She's flushing, you know, she's real rich. She don't know how to deal with this. She's still learning how to overcome. Overcome her fears and overcome her past and overcome this. Is this real? Is this a dream? I'm going to wake up one day. I know I am. I'm going to wake up and realize I'm lost and on my way to hell. I'm going to realize I'm not the bride. She still can't take it. So she reaches down and unfolds a little bit of thing. Oh, it's so beautifully wrapped, you know. It's just laying there. My, it was so appreciated to eat it.
But she said, I'm a little bit hungry. I believe I'll go ahead. So she just kind of unwrapped it, laid it open, and said, wow, the deity of Jesus Christ, 1949. I'm definitely going to eat that. And then she reached over, and there's another little thing laying there. She got a hold of it. Opened it up and said, God and His people, 1950. Mama. And there's another little thing laying down the bottom of the train. She opened it up and said, question and answers on Genesis. Oh, I know I'm going to love that. I've had a lot of questions about Genesis. My, you imagine she's thinking in her mind, can this be true?
Amen.
They call me their lady. Still, she's struggling within herself. Sort of like most of us here today. You know why some of you can still relate to build me a cabin in the corner of glory land? And most of you are thinking of that. You're not even worthy of that. You're not even fit for that. In your minds, you think if there's gutters in heaven, you'll be cleaning them out. Sewer guys and garbage guys. I'll be on the garbage truck in heaven, sure as the world. Why? Because in our subconscious, we are black, as she said, but comely. That strain of the first birth still hangs over us, and we cannot accept. It's not what you are. It's what He sees in you. It's His deposit of Himself. He's seeing His own work. These people back away now. They break through the ranks and come in. The guards, who are you? I'm the chef, sir. I just brought you. All right, go ahead. Who are you? I'm the butter guy. The butter and honey guy. I'm in the back here. She wanted, somebody said that she wanted butter and honey. Make it quick. Let me tell you something, children. Our God loves you so much. He not only sent His prophet to this earth to tell us things that would come in the future. Our God has fivefold ministry on the earth today that are preaching not only things that are ongoing, but God has men that's so in tune with Him, they can preach things 5, 10, 15 years ahead of time. You've heard it with your own ears right here from this pulpit. Things that have been preached well in advance before the devil ever stuck his head up. That's my God. That's my God. Why does He do it? To show off, to show He is your protector. Any enemy that wants to rise against that bride, our Lord Jesus is well more than able to take care of you. My, notice in verse 8. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Would any of you want to transport your wife or the guy that just got in last night? Oh, wrong arm. Which is left or right? Gomer pile number 2. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You want me to go get that bride? I'll do it, sir. Wrong way, soldier. Oh, this way. Okay. Yes, sir. I'll... Hallelujah. But men, that you could look on their hands, see scars. Look here and see them upon their face. Some of the same men and their sons who had fought for David are now Solomon's royal guard. It run in their family to defend royalty. Glory to God. If it wasn't uncouth, I'd run to the back and back. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword. And they're not actually standing there grasping them. But they would ride them high.
They would bring them up high, in the way the Hebrew says it. So they're not bringing it down here. Just a lapse of a second could mean the queen's life. So they gird them high. So like our master seen coming out of heaven with his girded high on a white horse. The king is taking no chances. So she can rest. She's going to have all the ever-present water from the rocks she wants. All the souffle. All the cream puddings and the pies and stuff she ain't ever ate in her life. My, these fancy foods. These guys with these tall hats and stuff. Mademoiselle, is there something you would like special today? Well, I'm just used to eating this old country grub out here. I mean, you got pinto beans and tomatoes and taters and stuff like that. No, madam, 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 no, ma'am, no. You must learn how to speak the king's language. What's the king language? Predestinated seed, ordained before the foundation of the world. Name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Boy, she said, I won't have a time saying that stuff. You'll get it, madam. You'll get it. You're going to have to start talking like the king in order to be the king's wife. Amen. You've got to overcome your language. You've got to overcome your thoughts. The journey from Shunem to Jerusalem is 50 miles, 52, 53 miles, depending on if you go this certain wadi or that wadi or bypass this hill and go around. 50, 52 miles, which means there's going to be some night stays. So they'll travel during the day, but they'll also travel during the night. Anybody knows nighttime, crime goes through the roof. Imagine these men were tireless. They took shifts. They'd be up praying 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, they'd hear the word of Solomon. My friends, my comrades, I'm sending you with the most difficult task you've ever had. Your father's was with my father in Michmash. Your grandfather stood with my father in shaking the city of Jebus, which is Jerusalem today. Now, my friends, I'm calling you for the most difficult task of any man. Go get my bride. Can I trust you? Yes, sir! I want each of you to give me your allegiance. If need be, you will die for her. Yes, sir! We promise you, sir. Neither false doctrine, nor error, nor television, nor rock and roll, nor miniskirts, nor makeup, nor anything else that we start to see creeping in the church. We'll attack it wide open. Be at peace, King. Bear your name. Shalomay. Hebrew. Solomon. King of peace. We're going to get Shulamay. Princess of peace. Rest, my King. Pardon me. My King, I promise you my loyalty. I promise you I'll not try to take her as my own. Hallelujah. I promise you I'll stand. If I have to be ridiculed, laughed at, and made fun of, I'll do whatever necessary. You have my total allegiance. Amen. My King. Amen. Amen. So they would have spent one, possibly two nights. These guards hovering around her, listening for every sound.
something rumbling on Facebook? Something been said on YouTube? Is this, you hear something? Four of you go out there and check it out. Listen, full attention, guys. It's fine, it's just a rabbit. You may wonder why true pastors are the way they are. You'll never know what's at their call, you see. Even to an evangelist, pastors can seem leery. They can seem very, very protective. Some of you might even think overprotective. They are given a charge that is different than any other fold of the ministry. Evangelists come and they go and they travel here and there and there, and they have prayer lines and they have meetings and so on. But yet a shepherd has the soul, the body, everything, the family, everything about the folks who attend that church. He watches them and he sees how they're pulling on the gift. He sees if they miss, you know, they don't come and they're not here and there and there. Oh, you may think, well, fine, whatever, so-and-so wasn't in church, but a pastor don't move out of his mind. I go on vacation. I can't go anywhere without you all. You don't know it, but you've been with me in New Zealand, you've been with me in Australia, you've been with me in Germany, you've been with me in Norway, you've been with me in Kenya. You don't remember the trip, you don't remember the flight, thank God, but you have been with me all around this world where I have been. Why? Because you are part of who I am. I have been given the charge as long as I'm here to do the very best I can with those that God has put with me to help me protect you as God's people. Not to be your Lord, not to dominate you, but to help you. Were there times that this pastoral type of girl, this being her background, she loved the wilderness and the woods. Maybe she just wanted to take a stroll by herself and say, my lady, don't go out there. Stay here with us. It may have seemed harsh. It may have seemed difficult. But this is the way they're made. They've received this from the King himself. Verse 9. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Now the word translated chariot here is only used in this place, actually in the whole Old Testament. But in the Mishnah, it's the nuptial bed. So King Solomon made himself a nuptial bed out of cedar, the wood of the cross. This chariot, a covenant of grace. Through cedar wood is going to transport the bride and her entire journey to her husband. You see, the cedar is actually within itself a cross. It has both red and white. So the royal litter, palanquin, is made of the finest woods. It does not rot. Especially the cedar of Lebanon, does not rot, and it has a pleasant fragrance. When planed or sawed or routed or whatever more, you can still smell the smell. So here she goes on the journey from Galilee to Jerusalem, riding on the cross. And she smells this cedar smell. Brother Bram said, when a man had done something wrong, he came to the waters of separation, and then the separation was separated from his sin. There's a whole lot more goes with it, of course, how that she was burnt, talking about the red heifer, with cedar, scarlet, hyssop. Those three elements, the same elements used, cedar wood, not a dogwood bush that represented the cross. Cedar. Red, speaking of redemption. But the cedar, the hyssop, like the killing of the two turtle doves under the running water. And the cedar and the hyssop all spoke of Christ and the cross and so forth. And the scarlet in the Bible is referred to as sheep's wool, dyed in blood, scarlet. Red meaning our redemption. The scarlet wool was to be thrown in with the heifer.
And cedarwood speaks of the cross. The cross, cedarwood, is white and got red streaks in it. And the white speaks of the righteousness of the cross. And the red speaks of the blood that made it righteous. The cross was a curse. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. The cross was a curse until the blood of Jesus Christ poured down on it. So how do we look at the cross today? Do you wear it on your symbol, you sisters, in your necklace, and your brothers hang it in your car as a symbol of a curse, as a symbol of a blessing? What turned the cross into a curse? The blood of the Lord Jesus. What turns your life from being a curse of Satan's kingdom? Oh my, the blood of the Lord Jesus. So she's transported back on a bed of cedar. Verse 10. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the truths and doctrines of the Bible, the doctrines of the gospel. So the pillars that uphold it, she herself is actually called a pillar in the New Testament. He made the pillars thereof of silver. The bottom thereof, the foundation, was of gold. Deity. Silver speaks of redemption. Look at what she's riding on. Deity. Redemption. The cross. Royalty. Look, friends, the bride ain't a bunch of spiritual hitchhikers. Anybody going to heaven? You got room? You got room? I ain't no hitchhiker. I'm riding bride class. Woo. Glory to God. I said I'm riding bride class. I've got gold. I've got silver. I've got redemption. I've got purple. I've got everything I need. I'm riding bride class. The golden foundation. Silver columns. Notice the covering of it. Purple, which is the top, which was the color of the veil in Solomon's temple. So now Solomon's bride temple is veiled in purple. Lord God, have mercy. Covering of it in purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem, which was little carpets. Little carpets. Laid on top of the golden floor, interwoven by the weavers of different colors. But each carpet told a story. And it was stories of love. So on top of the gold is the carpet of our loves. Love stories. Love stories. Each one of you have your own of how the Lord Jesus got a hold of your life. Not only how he got a hold of you, but how he's kept a hold of you. Verse 11. Let me see if I can find a place to stop. Go forth. Oh, you daughters of Zion. And behold, King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. Go forth, oh, you daughters of Zion. Now, these are the women of the court. These are the women who are around the court, surrounding royalty. And this poor little girl
is fixing to come in around them type of women. They said, go forth, ye daughters of Zion, and behold, King Solomon. Now watch, the tension changes now. They're getting closer. The bride is moving up on the matah. The palanquin is so beautiful, and the fragrances is coming forth. Now they're merging. Lord God, children. How close are we? How many more prophecies laid out here? How many more signs around the world? How many more signs in our own move? How many more signs to where we're so close that we look at her, and then we look at him, and we look at him, and we look at her, and we say, oh my God, look at him, look at her, and then we say, look at them. My Lord. But notice what a strange thing said about him. Behold, King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him. You see, according to custom, this was a typical thing that went on in these Eastern weddings. A nuptial couplet or a crown, some made out of flowers, some out of leaves. Bathsheba, David's favorite wife, the mother of Jedediah, or in other words, Solomon, had made this nuptial crown. You see, this again refutes the concept that this bride has been captured. This wedding comes with the mother, the queen mother's approval. Our queen mother, the earth, approves of our wedding to the King of Heaven. As a matter of fact, she is groaning and crying and waiting for us to come back and live on her. All creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now, waiting for what? You and your King. Behold, King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal. So here the seduction fable is again shattered. She's not fixing to marry the shepherd boy. She's fixing to marry what was called in that day the King of Kings. Can I have just a few more minutes? You see, this is mirrored in the natural sense of the nuptial chaplet, which our Solomon wore. In John 19:5, then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold, the man. His mother, the human race, crowned him. His mother, the human race, crowned him. The cup that was used to hold the wine at the wedding festival was now his body. The wine is now released from the cup. Hallelujah. Drink. Drink of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Drink. The greatest compliment that you can pay to your husband is take the elements he provided for your new birth. Water, blood, spirit. Don't substitute it for a book or a creed or a church membership. Matthew 12:50, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. Notice, so he changes it. Wherewith, Song of Solomon 3:11, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. No doubt, it's hard to tell in this time frame when the Song of Solomon is written how many wives Solomon actually had. It seems as if, though, it's in the earlier years of his kingdom. But no doubt he already had many. But they had never seen him react toward any the way he did toward this one, which seemed to be the least deserving of all. He was so rejoicing. Can you imagine? There's very few things that God rejoices over. Oh, you say, God? God rejoices? Isaiah 62:5. As a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Brother Jay, can it be? God? We have no scripture that says he rejoiced when he made the universe. That he rejoiced when he made angels. But yet God will rejoice in the redemption or the reconciliation of his people. God. Let me say, well, you can relate it. God will have a spell. God will rejoice over you. Let me close. I don't have time to finish all this. But let's close chapter 3. And then we'll just open chapter 4 because this is the closing of chapter 3, this verse that we just read. Chapter 4, verse 1 is the wedding night. Glory to God. Chapter 4, verse 1 is the wedding night. So the procession has entered now. They've had all the festivities. Now it's him and her. He opens it up, which is proper. Behold, thou art fair. My love, behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Now the festivities are still going on the outside. But they had a room in this situation in the palace called the bridal chamber. I mentioned it to you before, and you know at every wedding you've ever seen, whenever sing, all stand and sing, here comes the groom, skinny as a broom, fix him, take his wife right by his side. I've stood by many a groom. They pretty much all do the same thing. Y'all think I'm standing there admiring you? I'm praying for him. He don't pass out. Whose day is it? Most of the grooms that I've married to brides, most of them said, I wish we could have done it right here in your office. I said, it ain't too late. We can do it on the rehearsal night. But you know who all that's for? The woman. Glory. All the music is still going on the outside, but they move now into the bridal, not groom chamber, but bridal chamber. They would have a meal there. Now they're just alone, him and her. Now they're talking. And he starts really, really looking at her. He said, oh, my darling, you were so fair. But watch her. She's still so tore up. He has to repeat himself. You say, Brother Donnie, we've heard this. Apparently some of y'all were still nervous. So he had me to go over it again for him. Oh, I'm glad he understands this, ain't you? Let me close with this.
Brother Caleb, let's skip down to the quote there in the Ephesians church 8. The true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. What he is, she is to reflect. What he has, she is to manifest. Help me, God. There is no fault in her. She is all glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord, and all his works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? That we cannot do that. We can accept it by faith. Amen. For God hath spoken it. Amen. Praise God. Maybe some of you have not married to him yet. Maybe some of you have. I'm sure some of you. You've joined to him a long time ago. You're already past this place, initially. But maybe you need to renew it. Because as we go on in this, we've already been through it. We find that she got cold, not him. She got busy with so many things, and he put his hand on the door. But she said, I'm so tired, I'm so sleepy, I'm so well, I just can't get up. So finally, she didn't muster up enough strength to get up. And when she went there, the doorknob was dripping with the mirror where he had been. She got so caught up in life, her love waxed cold, not his. Maybe that's where you are. You've done been to this. You've been through the procession when God called you and God dealt with you. You've spent your 7 nights, as it were, together, and you're now his spouse. Solomon rather calls the Shulamite his spouse, which means his wife, not his girlfriend. But as wife, we get so busy with things of this life. Maybe you need to be renewed this morning in the presence of our King Solomon. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord, I pray you'd forgive me, Father. I don't feel like I did this justice. I pray you'd be able to take, Lord, what I couldn't convey to them and make it clear to their hearts. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us today. I don't believe this is just a pretty story with a lot of drama. I believe it's true. I believe we're in that great picture. I must say it's hard for me to comprehend. I cannot say that I fully understand it. But I want to understand as much as I can. No doubt there's other men that could take this and my do a superb job with it. But all I can do is do my best in what you show me. But Lord, I ask you to help us today. May we be able to see ourselves in a more clear way. It's our old first birth, Lord. It's our old fallen humanity that still wants to hang on to that part. I'm black, but I'm comely. I'm sunburned. I'm this, that, the other. Help us, Lord Jesus. Be mindful of us today, would you, Lord? As Solomon in all of his beautiful attire, just the presence of this man must have been overwhelming. Not so much proud and lofty as he became in his old age, but being a younger man with that regal, royal type of thing, their presence must have been something. I've stood in the presence of great people and those that aren't put on and full of pride. It is something about it. It's something about being around them. And she must have still just been getting used to it. And now she's so nervous because they went beyond the kitchen and the living room. And now they're into the bedroom. And He's just looking at her and just talking to her, and she's still so nervous and thinking, can this be? I don't know how to relate to a king. How do I talk to a king? But he started calming her by describing his love toward her and what he saw. If he had picked up her fault, she'd have probably run out of that room scared to death. But instead, he started looking at her, oh, my love. We know that's the way you are. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace to us. First hearing it, must not have done it, so he repeats himself again. And by that time, he goes down through just describing, looking at her, every detail about her, building self-confidence, helping her to see why he loved her. Lord Jesus, speak to every heart here today. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much that we have been given this opportunity of your grace and your mercy to be called into the family of God. In Jesus' name. Can we stand together? You husbands and wives know how it can be sometimes that you just get so busy in life, raising your children, taking them to school, taking them here and there and there, and you say, oh my goodness, if I can ever get these kids raised, me and my husband's going to have so much time together. And then when they leave, they start having kids, and then you start doing it all over again by fours or by fives or by sixes. And then you say, oh, whenever we get our grandkids raised. And then you get so old, you don't remember if that's the one you're married to or that one. What is it about us that we're longing, you know? I mean, used to, you'd think, me as a boy in Kentucky, you'd see these old people, them old-timers down there in Kentucky. You'd see the old man, the old woman just sitting on her front porch, rocking in the rocking chair. It's like, wow, man, that's a life. But you realize now the only thing we use them rocking chairs for is decoration. You don't ever get to use them, really. I mean, I thought years ago, anybody 60 years old like my age, you think, man alive, they're so old, poor old things. I mean, a preacher needs to retire at least 59 or 60. He can't even preach no more. He's so old and wore out. Where does life go? It seems like we're just always waiting for that, whatever it is we're looking for. I'll tell you what it is. It's like that little deposit of something in us when we're longing for the day for that time when it'll all be peace and happiness. And it's like we're never able to totally, completely find it in this life. We find a few moments of it and find a few moments there, and then it's gone. It's fleeting. But friend, there's a world. There's a land where nobody will ever get tired. Nobody will ever get weary. Nobody will get sick. There will never be one hard feeling. That within itself is heaven for me. Nobody will ever feel like I don't like them anymore. Praise God. I hate that old devil. Nobody will ever feel like nobody don't want them. Nobody in heaven will feel like they're not wanted. Everybody will feel like they're wanted. And to think of it, if God has called you to be his elected, you are called to live in the temple. Solomon is going to build this house called the house of God, called Solomon's temple. But what we've just read about here today was Solomon's temple. In heaven, there is no church house. On the earth, when we look upon the earth, there is no synagogue. There is no temple. Why? It's all gathered around him. Oh my, don't you love him? Praise God. Oh my goodness. Don't this feel awesome? I don't feel like shouting. I don't feel like running. But I just feel, I don't know, it's hard to describe it. It feels like I'm in the presence of a very great person. Such a great, great person.
I'm looking at this purple over me, and I'm looking at the gold. I'm looking at the love stories that's intricately woven together, the silver. And I'm thinking, can this be real? Brother Danny, it's real. I ain't going to wake up one day and realize this was a dream. I'm going to wake up one day in a new body. Praise God. Let's sing it together, Brother Larry. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. Hallelujah. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my Galilean ways, all my fall, and saw my need. Let's sing it together now. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross, the palanquin where you're transported on. Die for me. And sing it together to him.
Hallelujah.
beyond my fall and so I need. Everybody together now. Oh, I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where the Lord Jesus died for me on that cedar tree. Come on. Yes, Lord. That caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fall and saw my need. Hallelujah. How many has a need in your heart and your life today before the Lord? We want to pray for one another. I have a niece today that's real close to having a baby. She's having a few complications. I'd also like you to remember her. Would you take the person by the hand standing by your orb, brother, sister, if you'd feel uncomfortable doing that? You can move around or lay your hand on their shoulder, however you'd feel comfortable in doing. No doubt there's many needs among us here today. Many of them on those that are streaming this service. May the Spirit of God reach out to everyone. Heavenly Father, we bring the needs of our brothers and sisters before you today, Lord. Some may be sick, some weary, some just down, Lord, just having a lot of things going on in life, and they've just been feeling down and discouraged in the last week or so or whatever more. I pray you'd move for them today, Lord. Lord, we pray for hope today. Father, going to the hospital last night, Lord, and I pray that you'd just be with her and the baby today. Give it a safe delivery, Lord. Lord, there was many, many hands that was lifted up. Father, maybe a wavered son or daughter, a husband, a financial need. Lord, whatever it was, you know it. Heavenly Father, we believe if you provided a guard for us, both angelic and human, you've provided a message, you provided water, you provided food, you provided everything we have need of, and you knew along the journey we'd get sick. No doubt they may have had, in that sense, someone along in case a bee sting or whatever more that would take care of the little Shulamite. Hallelujah. You didn't send a doctor, but you went yourself and you took stripes on your back so we could be healed. Lord Jesus, we pray for the saints today, Lord. We want to remember Brother Warren as well, Father, that you'd be with our brother and strengthen him, Lord, and his family during this time, Lord God. Around the world, the needs of your people, your children. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you. I know our ways are simple. We're like that little girl. We're naive. We're simple. We lack understanding. We're not polished. We're not very high in society, as it be said. But in our simple, humble way, we love you. We love you with all of our hearts. We want to say thank you for choosing us, Lord. We did not choose you, but you chose us. I know I've said it since I was but a boy, but it's the only way I know how to say it. I love you. I love you with all of my heart. I worship you today, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your holy name, Lord. You love him, children, with all your heart. Don't you appreciate God's word? Brother Joey Allen, I was thinking this morning, I was preparing for this, about that song you sing sometimes for us. How many times? I got you up this morning. I woke you up. I gave you your right mind and clothes. How many times does he have to keep telling us? Apparently in our slow, hard-headed ways, many. But aren't you glad he's grateful? Would you come and sing for us, Brother Joel? Don't you appreciate the love of God? Would you turn around and shake hands with somebody? You can use your alcohol stuff later. Go ahead and shake their hand. Tell them you're happy to be in the house of God. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless you, saints. I love you so much. Let me say to you as your pastor, I don't know how long I'll get to be with you as far as our lives. None of us know that. I don't know how long we'll get to be together. But if the Lord was to take me this evening, let me say what an honor it's been to walk by your palanquin as one of the guards. Hallelujah. May I always be faithful to carry out what God wants me to do. May we be faithful together. Now you understand the story changes after chapter 4. Then we move into a broader palanquin, big enough for two. It's no longer you but yourself going to the king. But after this, it's you and the king seeing what's yours. But the guards are still there. The food's still there. The water's still there. But now you're not by yourself no more. God bless you. Let's sing it together. It's been good to be in church today, hasn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord, sing it for us.
How many times must I prove how much
I love you?
How many ways must my love for you I show? And how many times must I rescue you from trouble?
So you would know
how much I love you.
Oh, come on, let's sing it now.
Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were glowing in your right mind. Did you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. Must I be a fence all around you? And how many nights have I wiped all your tears away? How many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know how much I love you? It's right in time.